my message today. The tongue, a restless evil. The tongue, a restless evil. We want to remind ourselves that we must use our tongues appropriately. Not to hurt, not to put down, but in a way that would help others, build up others, and show a love for the brethren and for God himself. We have had many messages about the tongue. That shows it's very important. It's very important that we do it the right way. The tongue can do a lot of harm. And we have been warned how important it is to be careful not to let that harm come about. There's a saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's not true. That statement is a lie. Words can do more than just hurt you. Words can kill or cause someone else to take their life or somebody else's life. So that's a very wrong statement. Let's look at Proverbs 18th chapter. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. It says, from the fruit of a person's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is filled with the product of his lips. What we say, what we put out, is how we want to express ourselves, good or bad. This is what makes us feel good. So we should never feel good by putting out evil, wicked things to hurt others. We should never feel that way, because the word says that is a product. That is a product of our lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So what should we love? What should we want to put out? We want to put out whatever is godly, what is good, what is accepted by the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 says, for the one who wants to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And let him turn away from evil and do what is good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. The word is telling us what we need to do with the tongue, how we should use it, the type of people that we need to be. We are God's own. We must do it God's way. I know personally that words have battered me from childhood. Being a sensitive person, I have suffered from words. And it came from all over. It came from all over. And it's something that you learn to overcome. You learn to deal with it. I think I've come to the point now that even though words would still hurt me, I think I'm able to just let it go. You know, let it go like water off the back of a duck. Don't let it sink in. I've learned to do that. But I still think about it. I know you have had similar experiences with words when people say things that hurt you, especially when it's not true. And even when it's true, sometimes it's true. We have done this, we have done that, but we wish to be forgiven. We wish to be able to deal normally with the people that we have offended when it's done. And of course, that comes from people who are God's own, who believe in God, because once you do something that is wrong and you realize it's wrong, you're going to turn around and you're going to beg forgiveness. You're going to try to do the right thing. The tongue could leave scars for a long time. Proverbs 26, verse 20 says, without wood, fire goes out. And without a gossip, conflict dies down. We don't want to feed that fire of evil, that fire of wickedness, with our tongue. As charcoal for embers and wood for fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. A gossip's words are like choice food that goes down one's innermost being. Smooth lips with an evil heart are like glaze on an earthen vessel. It's there. You can't remove it. That's how that person is. And it can kill. It can hurt. A hateful person disguises himself with his speech and harbors deceit within. Inside, he has that bad feeling. He has that feeling of hurting, of being on top and putting down the other man. But his face is nice. Very smooth smile. And he fools a lot of people that way. We have to be careful for such people. Disguises himself with his speech. When he speaks graciously, don't believe him. For there are seven detestable things in his heart. And we know that those are the seven things that God hates. We know those are the seven things that God hates. Though his hatred is concealed by deception, his evil will be revealed in the assembly. You get to be known. If that's the kind of person you are, you get to be known. And that's what people look out for. Even when you say nice things, people are looking. They're looking. They're listening for the next word. And you get to be known that way. That doesn't belong to us. We don't need that. We are human, and we will say something at some point to hurt others, but we will immediately recognize an error and correct it. And if necessary, beg pardon. No evil remains concealed. All will be known eventually. So we should plan now to follow God's way. In spirit and in truth. So we must repent and be clean. Colossians 4 and verse 6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. Seasoned with salt. That very valuable ingredient that the Lord gave us. Salt makes anything taste better. When a person has the problem of not being able to tolerate salt, it's sad because they're missing so much. They have to look for these false seasonings to make the food taste well because salt is, for whatever reason, not tolerable to them. So let your speech be seasoned with salt and answer each person in the way that God's people know would make somebody else feel well. And we know what will make another person feel good. We know what will make them happy and be glad to deal with us. Many things can hurt a person. One of them could be bad choices. We make a bad choice. We feel that we made some deal that we should have checked a little more carefully. We have a friend maybe that we trusted too quickly and we find out later on that person is not as nice as they look. We buy some item that we don't really need, but we spend that money. We spend that money, and later on we find, well, I need something of real value now. I don't have the money because I spent it on that. All these things hurt. All these things hurt. Sometimes we may meet someone, a non-believer, who needs certain information. And we tell ourselves, wow, if I had just studied, I was reading this just recently, if I had studied it just a little more, I would have had an answer for them. That hurts because we lost an opportunity. But none of it. Those could be corrected, right? You could go back and do your study and go back to that person. Or you could realize the next time that spending itch comes, you're going to think a little more carefully before throwing the money that way. Those things could be corrected. But when you speak against someone, even when you apologize later on, it's there. It's in that person's mind. Like I said to you, I remember things from when I was a child that I felt should never have been said, never have been done. And even though I don't have it against the people who did it anymore, it is still there. And it still hurts. We look forward to the time when none of that will ever happen again. So when we realize our mistakes, we correct them. And we try not to let it happen again. Another thing that could hurt is poor preparation. We know we have a deadline to do something. We don't do it. We know certain items are required. They're available, but we don't get them. We don't get them. Until the time comes, this is when you need it, and we don't have it. Because we didn't do it right. Again, that could be corrected. Again, we could plan for the next time. What we can do today, don't leave it for tomorrow. Because tomorrow might be too late. You might lose some opportunity. A lack of preparation brings bad results, and that hurts. Overconfidence. We think we know our strength. We say, oh, yes, I got this. I don't have to worry. I'll take care of it. Oh, it's just a little thing. I'll take care of it later. And the time comes and we don't have it prepared. And that hurts. Again, it could be corrected. So we'll plan properly. We'll execute properly. And we won't have too many of those painful experiences to go through. When we promise something, let's make sure we do it. Don't fall short. Because the word tells you, do not promise anything you're not going to be delivering. When we are being dishonest or shady, that's a lie. We're pretending we are somebody that we are not. We are defiling the tongue to justify the act. Defiling the tongue. And that too is bad. You're not putting somebody down at that time, but you are saying something that is not true. I will give you this at that time, and it's not there. A disloyal friend. That could be hurtful. It could be hurtful. But can be corrected. Let's look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 29. It says, no foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit, we were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath, shouting and slander be removed from you, along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Proverbs 10 and verse 19 says, when there are many words, sin is unavoidable, but the one who controls his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is pure silver. The heart of the wicked is of little value. Some people like to talk. They like to show how much they know. And many times when they don't know what to say next, they say something that they clearly know is not the right thing. But I have to look important. I have to be able to speak and to say things. Control your lips. Control your lips. And the word says that's being prudent. In one account, the Pharisees complained that Jesus' disciples did not wash their hands when they ate, breaking the tradition of the elders. Matthew 15 and verse 10 tells us what Jesus replied to them. Summoning the crowd, he told them, listen and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. Very important to say the right thing, act the right way. And when we say the wrong things and defile the tongue, we're also defiling the heart. Now there's one little scripture that I'd like to read to you in closing. It's a scripture on the tongue. I read part of it before. I'm going to read the whole thing to you now. Not many should become teachers, my brothers, because you know that we will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is mature. Able also to control the whole body. Now if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we direct their whole bodies. And consider ships, though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Consider how a small fire sets ablaze a large forest. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among our members. It stains the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Brethren, it's all a part of the test that we're going through. Why would God give us such a part that will hurt the entire system? Why did he give it? So that we would learn and grow. Every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish is tamed and has been tamed by humankind. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives, my brothers and sisters, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a saltwater spring yield fresh water. And that is from James, the third chapter, verses 1 through 12.